Snowtappers, welcome back to the Snowtap WI Gambling Hour. We haven't done one of these in a while. Part of the reason, if you're not familiar, if you're a new listener, let me explain that before I explain why we took a little bit of a hiatus. So we did this all throughout the football season. On Fridays, we would talk about the lines, we'd talk about games we liked, we'd talk about local teams, and we would do all of that in the guise of gambling. I wanted to continue it into the basketball season. I thought that it was a fun show. It was a little bit of a reprieve from Daily Tap, which I think when you do that and tapping the keg, it can get repetitive a little bit. So it was a good change of pace. But what I realized was that the gambling lines for college basketball do not come out until Friday night. So if we were to do this podcast, it would have to be Friday night, which is a complete cluster and no one really would listen. So I went back to the Daily Tap and said, the Gambling Hour will appear at certain points when they matter. The March Madness, the college basketball season is wrapping up. This is probably the peak time for gambling and college basketball. We will likely be back a couple times next week to talk about bracket pick, or 2 weeks from now, to talk about different games we're betting on, not necessarily looking at futures, how to fill out your bracket. Gambling Hour will have a place the week of the tournament. And then on top of that, we also will bring it back when it Masters season. I do want to do some golf betting. We never really have gotten into that, but I do want to do that before the Masters, as well as the NBA playoffs. So we will have different times to talk about the gambling aspects of all these big events as we continue on through the season. Then once football gets going again, we will bring back the Gambling Hour with another over-under pod. Baseball over-unders could maybe be one as well. I think we did one for the NBA, so maybe bring that back in the fold. But I guess what I'm saying is there are multiple opportunities for the Gambling Hour. It's just not one of those things that is going to appear all the time. And because there were no Wisconsin sports yesterday and nothing really to talk about, I thought today would be a great day. I do want to do a Daily Tap tomorrow, fingers crossed I will be able to, where we talk about the Bucks and the Lakers from tonight, which should be a great game, and we could talk about how to gamble on that as well at the very end of this. So let's get into March Madness. Let's get into the brackets. It is conference tournament season. It's already underway for the smaller teams. It will be underway for the larger conferences, I think starting Tuesday with the ACC, and then it continues all week and really hits its peak around Friday, where everything is going on. Some are already into the semifinals. Some are just in the quarterfinals, and so it's really an amazing time of the year. There's basketball on throughout the day. I've mentioned that I will be starting the day job, so I will try my best not to be distracted throughout the day. It will be hard. Usually these are times where I have a second screen with a game on because either I'm chasing a spread or I want to see what happens. There is a dramatic upset, one of the two. That is probably not going to exist for me this time around. And same goes for March Madness. This is the first March Madness Thursday, Friday that I'm missing, I think, since I was working for Northwestern Mutual. So that was 2015. So since then, I have been fortunate enough to watch everything at home. It's one of my favorite 2 days of the year. I absolutely adore it, and unfortunately, this will be the first. And even when I was working for NM, I had the games on because we had a partnership with the NCAA, and we were doing some tweeting on their behalf, so it wasn't even like I was missing games. And I think I was working games in 2014 for a thing that I did for the radio station. So yeah, I had some time where I was missing the tournament, but it was very rare that I missed the first two afternoon slots of basketball. But that's how it's going to be, and I'm okay with it. I'm making peace with it, and you got to grow up sometimes. And part of the thing about being unemployed is, like, I've had 5 months of freedom. So I now am back into the grind. It's fine. If all goes well at the day job, next year I can be back at it again and get to enjoy my time off. So when it comes to some people have not gambled on college basketball all year. Some people do not gamble on college basketball. I'd say those people are smart because all you do is lose money. I'm on a very cold streak this week. But some of you start dialing in to college basketball this weekend, next weekend, so you get your brackets ready. I don't know if there's going to be a sexy pick from a bracket perspective. I'm not sure right now. I have a hard time finding that team. I don't know who it'll be. I don't know. I think there are some that are Final Four teams, and then I think there are some that are national championship teams. As usually how it goes is really what you want to look for are a team who's in the top 30 of KenPom and has a experienced point guard and probably a good coach helps out too. I think those are like the three sort of temples. And we'll talk about bracket strategy next week when the bracket comes out and what you need to look for. But really what I want to talk about are some of the teams that I would keep an eye on this weekend, next weekend. They're going to be obvious because they're in the top of KenPom and worth paying attention to as the, you know, week kind of goes on. And I guess if we were to keep it local before we do the KenPom teams, I will say that Wisconsin is making an ascent up the brackets. They are somewhere in the range of 4 to 6 right now, and Marquette is not. Marquette's around 7 or 8, maybe even 9 for some as they continue their descent. We've talked about both teams this week. All I will say from that perspective is I think Wisconsin is more trustworthy in March than Marquette. Right now, there's so many unknowns with Steve Wojciechowski. I would tread very lightly on Marquette unless something changes. As for Wisconsin, I think they are a team worth investing in. I think sometimes the Vegas lines aren't always matching up with what the Badgers are. I think they've had sort of a tough time with Wisconsin this year, especially as Wisconsin has gotten better. Right now, according to Oddshark, right now the Badgers are 14-14-2 against the spread. They are better as a dog, 7-5 as an ATS dog. They are 1-2 in neutral site games. So nothing really major to take away from the Badgers, minus that if they do get into that underdog position, they tend to perform well. But that's just a little bit on the locals. But to talk about the other teams to keep an eye on, the biggest one is Kansas right now. Kansas is 27-3. They're going through a boatload of allegations about their program, but Kansas has the most talented roster. Devin Dotson is a dynamic point guard. Azubuike is a great big man inside. They have a ton of talent. They probably are the prohibited favorite at the time. They are the overall one seed, likely playing in Indianapolis to start this out. Is Kansas a team that you can ride in terms of betting on them? Well, they're 18-12 against the spread, but really where you like Kansas here, and 16-12 as favorites, 2-0 as dogs. So they have been pretty reliable from a betting perspective, but really where the betting has come into play has been the over-unders. They are 11-19 when it comes to over-unders. They are an under team, and they have been an under team on the road all year. None of their games on the road, I think, have went over yet this year. And you might say, well, that doesn't matter. Why is that significant for a bunch of neutral site games? Well, I think there is a correlation, and you can look at away numbers. Now, neutral site numbers aren't going to be great because not a lot of these teams have played more. Usually 4 is kind of the peak of how many neutral site games you've played. And I just don't know if that's a big enough sample. But for Kansas, that's to me the one thing you can look at when you're betting with Kansas, I think, is their unders. I think that is the kind of the sauce for if you're looking at what do I want to do to back Kansas. Number 2 on that list is Gonzaga. Gonzaga is a number 1 seed. Can Gonzaga be trusted is always a question that we ask, because Gonzaga has disappointed in the tournament before. I'd argue that this year is different for Gonzaga. They're going to get Los Angeles likely as their bracket. They're going to have a very favorable sort of route. They play in Spokane to start, and that is great. And I think you can ride Gonzaga pretty far. In the opposite of Kansas, they are 25-6 when it comes to over-unders. That, to me, is the big thing for Gonzaga. You can hit that over and feel really confident, but there will be a lot of people probably on that. Against the spread on neutral sites, they have not won a game. They have not covered a game, I should say, not won. They haven't covered a game on a neutral floor. They're only 16-14 against the spread. I think part of that, though, is they do get overvalued and their spreads get high, like 15-16 against some of these West Coast Conference teams. So I would take their against the spread a little bit for a grain of salt. As for Baylor, which is again a, you know, in the KenPom number three, and also a bracket right now, they are in the Houston region, their number one seed. Baylor is an interesting one. Scott Drew has really never been a good tournament coach. Scott Drew runs a zone. Baylor can get beat by a team who has a hot shooting night. Baylor, you just got to pay attention, right? For Baylor, more than any other team, it's looking at, all right, who are they facing? Are they a good three-point shooting team? Do they do things that could hurt the zone? You know, Kansas went right into the middle of that zone, right into the teeth of that zone with Azubuike. Now, they have been good as a spread team. They're 18-11 against the spread, great as a dog team, a little bit on the unders. They have been 4-1 in neutral sites, so it does seem that that does not bother Baylor from a spread perspective. I just would be weary about trusting Baylor with all the things that we've seen. Sometimes, like I said, do they check off the boxes? Well, they do have, they are a good KenPom team. But their coach, a little shaky. Their team doesn't have that one guy that you can rely on in the last 5 minutes. That, to me, screams scary. I am scared of that. Continuing on, now, they're fourth in KenPom, but they are a two seed. I'd argue that they are a better one seed than San Diego State. That is the Dayton Flyers. Dayton has only lost twice. We saw Dayton take Kansas to overtime and lose to Colorado. The knock on Dayton is they do not have many quad one wins. I think Dayton will be sexy. Dayton is 16-13 against the spread. Their over-unders are 18-12, 3-2 on a neutral site. So their two losses, as mentioned, and those were both against the spread, but we're losing to Colorado, which I think they were favored in Chicago, and losing to Kansas in Maui, which was an overtime game before we knew how good the Dayton Flyers were. Dayton Flyers have a top five NBA draft pick in Obi Toppin. They have a lot of guys that can win you games late. I've watched Dayton a decent amount, and I really think the Flyers are legit. I think they are a Final Four team. I don't know if they're a national title contending team, but they are legitimate. I do not think you should sleep on Dayton. I don't think Dayton is a team that I get worried about trusting. Anthony Grant has been in tournaments. I don't think he's ever been in this spot before when he was at VCU or at Alabama. But I do think there is a trust factor you can have with Dayton. It's okay to trust the Flyers just with all the talent they have. They have more talent than you think, and they travel okay as a fan base. They have fans in, you know, New York, Los Angeles. This isn't a team that will not travel. I think they are more trustworthy than San Diego State, who we can talk about next, who's KenPom's five and a one seed in a lot. It's likely that if San Diego State does get a one seed, they're going to head out to New York. So they will be in New York, where San Diego is on the other side of the country. They don't really travel well. They play a slow down sort of Badger-like offense. And I just don't know how you can look at San Diego State and say, I trust those guys going forward. They do have a good point guard in Malachi Flynn. Their coach really has never been there before.
But if they play, say, Maryland or Butler in round in Sweet 16, could be an issue. Could be a real issue for them. They play Louisville or Butler is also on this, but Houston in the second round for San Diego State, or even a team like Virginia, while that is their style, Virginia has been here before. Virginia could knock them off. San Diego State to me is like what Gonzaga was years ago. I don't know how you can trust San Diego State. They, out of any one or two seed, to me, they are the most untrustworthy. They're a team I think you can fade when it comes to against the spreads and things like that. I just do not see it from San Diego State. Maybe that's my ignorance, but and they have been a great road team. They're 10-1 ATS on the road. They neutral sites, they are 3-1. They actually lost yesterday, did not cover against Air Force. They were a 17-point favorite. They play this weekend. They're in the semifinal against Boise State tonight. Then they play, if they were to advance, they'd likely play either Nevada or Utah State on Saturday afternoon. Keep an eye on San Diego State. Again, though, I don't know of how much the Mountain West will tell you. Duke is at 6. Now, do we trust the Duke Blue Devils? I have some trouble with that assumption, right? Duke's around a 3 seed. They're going to likely play in Greensboro, so Duke should get a path to the Sweet 16. Duke being in Los Angeles or New York will be very beneficial for the Blue Devils. If the Blue Devils will likely get that comfort because that's how the NCAA does it, right? If Duke wins the ACC, who knows? Maybe Duke gets up to a 1 seed. I doubt they would, but it would be such a tournament thing to do. Duke always gets a pathway. Duke always gets that ability. Now, if Duke plays a team like Dayton, I actually probably like Dayton more than I do Duke. I just don't know how much we can trust Duke. They do have a coach in Coach K, but I don't think Coach K is the same coach he was years ago. They do have a talented point guard in Trey Jones, and they have a team with Cassius Stanley and a big man in Vernon Carey, but I don't know. I've seen so much of Duke where they just make early exits. Now, they got to the Elite Eight with Zion Williamson, but they didn't get to the Final Four. Duke should have been a Final Four team with that squad. They lost in the Elite Eight again to Kansas the year before in 2018. And in 2017, they didn't even make it out of the first weekend, losing to South Carolina. So I don't exactly think K really is a good coach anymore for a tournament. I just don't. And if you want to call me a hater, go ahead. Yes, they should advance. Yes, they should get a good path that will have a lot of fans and a lot of Duke representatives. But I just don't know if I can trust Duke at the 3 or the 2 line. Duke, and the other part of this too is, before we look at their ATS, the ACC has not been good this year. And I think that is a thing to keep an eye on when you're looking at who do you trust in terms of, you know, riding these teams. A team like Kansas and Baylor, they've played in a pretty tough conference in the Big 12. We'll talk about Michigan State here in a second, but Michigan State has played in the Big 10. The Big 10's really fucking good this year. You might want to trust a team that's winning in the Big 10. I think that is worth your time. Big 10's arguably the best. I think it is the best conference in college basketball this year. Now, Big 10 has had their struggles winning the tournament, but we can talk about that in a couple weeks from now. As for Duke as a spread team, they're 15-15. Not very good. They have not done well away from Cameron Indoor. They are an over team, though. 21-9 when it comes to over-unders this year. As for Michigan State, who I just mentioned, Michigan State's clicking at the right time. It's kind of a cliche, but it must be March, right? You have Tom Izzo, who does this on a regular basis. He got Michigan State to the Final Four last year. He has an experienced point guard in Cassius Winston. He has a very talented big man in Xavier Tillman. We joked on Tabbing the Keg how Tillman is a terrible finisher. And I've been burned by Michigan State so much this year by taking them on the road. They haven't been a good ATS road team this year, so I have a little bit of PTSD with Michigan State, but even I have to admit what the Spartans are doing is very impressive, and they, to me, are a team worth considering a Final Four spot. Not even, I don't think it matters where they play. Now, if they get to Indianapolis, I think that does help them in terms of fan base, but they do travel well. I think New York, Los Angeles, I think that would be fine for Sparty, but they just have all the ingredients that equal a Final Four team to me. I don't know if I'd be shocked if Michigan State doesn't get there, but if Michigan State's a three, I just think they are a team that you fire into your Final Four and you feel pretty good about it. Moving to the number eight team in KenPom, this is where it kind of gets wonky. Now we're at the point of, all right, we're into a little bit of a wonkiness with it, is Ohio State. So Ohio State is around the five line. If you look, they aren't necessarily in that top, you know, top four, top 16, but they have played well this year. They've been up and down. They had a nice win against Illinois last night, and they did cover in that one. But with Ohio State, they, to me, they're just a little bit unpredictable. I think Chris Holtmann is a really good coach. That said, I don't know. They've had too many injuries. DJ Carton's still out due to mental illness. Kyle Young's out with an injury. I don't know how much you can rely on Ohio State. I'd have to see them. I'll be very interested to see how they play against Michigan State on senior day. I think Cash Winston and Michigan State are going to kill them. If they keep that game within 10 and it's close and maybe even they cover on the road, I would be more inclined to like Ohio State from a KenPom perspective and from a tournament perspective. I just do not see them as a team in, you know, that's worth riding deep into the tournament. Number nine is Louisville. Louisville, to me, has all the makings of a Final Four team. Well coached with Chris Mack. Jordan Nora is a star. You have all the ingredients there. But Louisville has not sort of shown me that they can kind of step up to that moment. Every time Louisville's had a big game, it feels like they've lost. Now, they did beat Duke on the road. That's worth noting. But they've had a lot of stubbing of toes. And when you stub your toe often in the regular season, that to me is a recipe to either have a close round one, have a close round two. I don't know how you can look at Louisville's resume and say, yeah, that to me is a Final Four team. They will be a team I think nobody is talking about. You'll hear a lot of that. Like, no one's talking about how good Louisville is and all this shit. I just don't see it. I don't get it. They're around a two line right now. To wrap up the KenPom top 10 is a weird one with BYU. BYU has been hotter than shit. They beat Gonzaga a couple weeks ago. They do play a style that is up-tempo, and they shoot a lot of threes. BYU, I think, can cause a lot of problems for teams. I don't think BYU is a team you want to see in your bracket pot. Like, I just do not think BYU is the type of team that can frustrate a lot of teams. And the West Coast Conference is better than it has been with Gonzaga, St. Mary's, all tournament teams. Those three have challenged each other, and also the middle part of that West Coast Conference has as well. So I would not want to fuck around with BYU. I think they are a sleeping giant in that five, you know, four or five line right now. And BYU could be a four if they were to beat Gonzaga again in the West Coast Conference. I almost would like BYU better at a six, as if that sounds weird, but I think then they kind of lie in the weeds. So that really is your top 10 in KenPom. If we go to the bracket matrix, which takes all the brackets and looks at where the cumulative, where everybody sits, there's some untrustworthiness in there. Number two seeds of Florida State and Seton Hall, I don't know if I can get down, especially with Florida State and Seton Hall both around KenPom 16 and 17. Seton Hall, I've not liked because I bias against them with Marquette, but I have thought that the Pirates looked like a team who could make a deep run when they played Marquette. Now, I watched them against Villanova, and I saw so many problems. Kevin Willard has not been in this spot before, and I do think as a coach, when you're not in that spot before, it makes you extremely vulnerable. As for Florida State to me is a team that is better lying in the weeds. They have not been a reliable tournament team. They've tripped on their dick far too many times. They are another team that I probably look to fade come March. The three line, Villanova has the talent, man, but they are very young. I don't know. You can trust Jay Wright and Connor Gillespie. It's Connor. Yeah, Connor Gillespie is worth, you know, a look. He's kind of banged up. Sadiq Bey is good. But I don't know. That experience stuff matters, especially when you're playing a team who's been there before. Villanova is way too young. They might be a year away. I do think there might be. They are a potential Sweet 16 team for sure. Maryland has all the tools, right? They have a senior point guard in Anthony Collin. They have an NBA player in Jalen Smith. Collin also is an NBA player. But their coach is so bad. Mark Turgeon is as untrustworthy in that top 16 brackets. It's probably Mark Turgeon and then Scott Drew. I would say those are the two guys that I trust the least out of that top 16 line right now. I don't know, man. I don't know how you can look at Turgeon's history and say, yeah, the Terps are going to make a run. They are also kind of scuffling down the stretch. Now they have a home game on Saturday. If they take care of business there, maybe I worry less. I do want to see them in the Big Ten tournament. If they come out and win the Big Ten tournament or they get to the final, maybe I feel a little bit better. But if I have Maryland in my Final Four, I feel like you're fishing with dynamite there. The last team I'll talk about here and wrap it up is Creighton. Creighton, to me, is a team that can beat anybody, but they can also lose to anybody. Creighton is undersized. They don't really have a big man. They play a up-tempo, fast team, fast basketball. They have to make their shots to be successful. Tyshawn Alexander, great point guard. They do have the remedy, a good point guard, a KenPom top 50, 30 team, a coach that... Greg McDermott's a good regular season coach. I don't know if we've seen it in the tournament time, but in what usually happens to Creighton is they face a team that has a ton of size that slows it down. They are a team that you can win on matchups, and that to me is my biggest fear with Creighton is they can be beat because of this. The matchup is bad. And you hate that. You want a team that's sort of a chameleon, right? Anything you throw at them, they can handle it. And that's why, like, a Baylor, going back to them, is hard to trust in the tournament, because you if they're a good three-point shooting team, you can shoot Baylor right out of that fucking zone. So how can you really be like, all right, yeah, Baylor has what it takes to, you know, go far? So that'll wrap it up. That will do it. I feel like we've given you a lot of info to kind of look at, pay attention to this next week. If you have any questions about teams, you know, sleepers, things like that, please let me know. I'll be happy to cover it again. I think we'll do another one of these after the bracket is out on Sunday. Probably a Daily Tap / Gambling Hour, and talk a little bit more about opportunities. Of course, I get the hiccups right as I'm trying to wrap up. That is so fun. All right, I gotta go. See ya. Bye.